Okay, Boker Tov, good morning everybody. It's good to see everybody here. I hope everyone had a wonderful Pesach. I apologize that we seem to have run out of the sheets, but if you could share, if you have the opportunity to do so, that would be great. Anybody who wants the sheet, who doesn't have one right now, is welcome to email me afterwards, and I'm happy to send them a copy of the sheet on the email, or you can get it from the OU Center. Someone's reminded me to remind you, if you could please turn off your phones, and that would be great. A little bit of housekeeping, just in terms of the next...
You need more copies.
If you can, that would be great.
How many more?
How many people here don't have a sheet? Not too many. Maybe 10, 15 more, that would be... I don't have a copy here, but she might have a copy of the... Okay, fine. A little bit of housekeeping going forwards. Please God, there will be a shir again next week. I'm actually going to Memphis, Tennessee tonight. If you have any messages for Memphis, please hand them on. I'm going for Shabbos to Memphis, but should be coming back on Sunday, Monday. So please God, there'll be a shir next week. It is Yom HaZikaron next week, so we might have to cut short the shir a little bit early at the siren, but we'll talk about that next week. The topic I'd like to deal with in two parts, today and next week, is I think a fascinating one, which I've entitled Music, Svira, and Yom HaAtzma'ut. And not surprisingly, in order to cover that topic, we will need to talk about music, Svira, and Yom HaAtzma'ut, which we will do in turn. Today I want to talk about music, because I don't think you can really do this topic justice unless we first address the general issue. What is the Jewish perspective on music, generally, on playing music, on listening to music? Then next week we can look specifically at how the customs of the Sfirat HaOmer period originated, where they came from, how they developed. And we can turn our attention specifically to Yom HaAtzma'ut. What do we do with all of this now that we have a day, a new day, like Yom HaAtzma'ut, which is relatively new in the Jewish calendar? How does this impact on the Minhagim, etc.? As I say, there is a lot to talk about, and it's a very hot topic. I myself, I must confess, full disclosure, I'm a musician. I've had a lot of history and background and enjoyment from music, and therefore this is something I find very interesting. This is probably the longest time of year that we have a kind of negative relationship with music, if you like. We have obviously during the 3 weeks, Tisha B'Av, but that's 3 weeks. This is more than 3 weeks, depending on your Minhagim. But let's have a look at this and see if we can work out how it works. So I'd like to divide the shir into two parts, really. For the first 15, 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, I'd like to look at the positives. Look at all the wonderful ways in which Judaism views music and values music. But then I think we need to flip over to the negative and see how, in fact, music in this world today is something that we have a little bit of a mixed relationship with. But let's start with the positive. How do we view music in Tanakh? And the answer is, generally speaking, very positively. It starts at the very beginning in Parshas Bereishis, where we see in number one, V'shem Achiv Yuval. We have a number of brothers born to Lamech, one of whom is Yuval. Hu haya avi kol tofes kinor v'ugav. He was the first one to develop the kinor and the ugav. The kinor is a harp, some kind like a harp or a lyre, and an ugav is a flute. So he developed musical understanding of flutes and stringed instruments. The Ibn Ezra writes straight away, kinor v'ugav mine klei neginot. These are musical instruments. V'haya chochma gedola. This is a chochma gedola. Music is a big deal, says the Ibn Ezra, and it's not easy to get it right. Believe me, I learned to play the violin when I was a kid. It took about 4.5 years before they'd let me play for grandma in case it caused her any kind of medical emergency, because it's not an easy matter playing a musical instrument. But says the Ibn Ezra, nevertheless, was developed early. And Rav Hirsch makes a beautiful point at the very beginning in number two. He says, Yuval is introduced by the harp and the flute as music, according to art, to the Cainite world. Now, this is not Canaanite. This is the Cainite world, the world of Cain. Because don't forget, these are the descendants of Cain. A parallel family is the family of Sheth, which is the family that we, ultimately, the Jewish people come from. But this is the world of Cain, cut off from God, removed from God. Don't forget, Cain was rejected by God. It is, or he rejected God. It is just as necessary as handicraft. by external stimulation, he's talking about music, it endeavors to bring back the same internal harmony which had departed from man with his departure from God. Music is there to try and bring Cain back to God. Beautiful idea. Especially music, which expresses neither forms nor ideas. Art is visual in some way. Music is just cerebral, but only moods and feelings, and thereby works ennoblingly on the mind as it brings and awakens finer feelings to it and acts like all art and beauty as a preliminary stage in educating mankind back to goodness and truth. Beautiful quote. Rav Hirsch at his best in that sense. Art in the Cainite world, he says, represents the truth that man has still higher requirements than material possessions. It can't just be about what we own. There has to be a world of art, beauty, music, etc. beyond that. So this is obviously very positive. On the other hand, this is the Cainite world. There is another world, the world of Shet, which goes even beyond that, which is the world of religious connection to God, the world of Judaism as we know it as well. So it's not that music is everything, but it is definitely positive. We see with Lavan, look at number 3. Lavan, when he runs after Yaakov and his family, he says, Lama nachbeta libroach. Why did you hide everyone away and run away in the night? V'tignov otived v'loi gadatili. Why did you steal from me? You didn't tell me. I would have sent you off with simcha, uvishirim, and with songs, betof, uvachinor. Again, music we see, Lavan says, I can't let you go just by running away in the night. I have to play music, we have to bring out a band, we have to have a whole farewell. And therefore we see in the world of Lavan as well, music is something that figures strongly. Again, a little bit of a mixed message though. That's the world of Lavan. Is that the world that we really relate to entirely? It's positive, but is it ultimately positive? And I brought you a lot of different examples at the end. I didn't bring all the sources, but think of the following 8 or 9 examples. The song, the Shira that we just read last week on Shvi'i Shel Pesach of Bnei Yisrael at the Red Sea, Miriam and the women who had the foresight to bring with them tambourines, musical instruments to play with that and to dance, Yiftach's daughter, who ran out to greet her victorious father, the Mecholot, the Tupim. Now that didn't end too well, as we know, with Yiftach's daughter, but she greeted him with music. The women who ran out to greet Shaul and David with song, with music and dance when they came back from war. Again, that didn't end too well either, okay? David HaMelech, who brought the Aaron Kodesh back to Yerushalayim, accompanied by harps, by lyres, by cymbals. And that also didn't necessarily go that well. But I hope you're seeing that this is positive, but there is a different side to it. This is with Michal as well, who then says to David, how could you behave that way, etc. Shlomo HaMelech, who set up his palace with musicians, playing again Kinor B'Naval. And Shlomo HaMelech's musical extravaganza for the Queen of Sheba, where he brings out a whole orchestra. Elisha, who requested music so that he could get to prophecy. We'll see more of that soon. Yeshayahu describes how the Oli Regel played pipes and sang as they went up to Yerushalayim v'chag. Nehemiah, when he rededicated the walls of Yerushalayim, did so accompanied by singing, with cymbals, with lyres, with harps, etc. And there are many, many verses in Tehillim which encourage us to celebrate and praise Hashem using musical instruments, and we say them every day. For us, music was the way of connecting with God. We saw that from Rav Hirsch, and we took that through all the way through the period of Tanakh. When the temple was eventually destroyed in Eicha, what do we say, number 4? Zikeinim mishar shavatu. There are no longer the elders sitting at the city gate of the Beis Din. Bachurim minaginatam. And we've lost the young men who used to play music. Playing music was something which is representative of youth. And indeed, when we daven, of course, in Sheva Brochas Una'arim Mimishtei Neginatam, we're davening for these young men to come back and play music. Therefore, music clearly was something very, very positive and popular in Tanakh. In the Beit HaMikdash as well. Have a look at this very interesting Rambam in number 5. We see many psukim through the Tanakh where we see the music which was played in the Mikdash. The Levim who sang and played music in the Mikdash. Look at the orchestra. Is an interesting halacha people don't often look at in the Rambam. Ubama hay menagim. What did they used to play in the Mikdash? Menevalim, harps, chalilim, flutes, kinorot, lyres, v'chatzotzrot, and trumpets, v'chatzotzal, and cymbals. Oh, the cymbal. The ein potchim mishnei nevalim, v'lo mitzipim al shisha. How many harps did they have? Between 2 and 6. The ein pochatim mishnei chalilim, minimum 2 flutes, v'lo mitzipim al shnei masar, a maximum 12 flutes. The ein pochatim mishnei chatzotzrot, minimum 2 trumpets, The loy moisifim esrim umeya, and 120 trumpets. Sounds a bit trumpet heavy, the orchestra, but you'll see in a minute it's going to be balanced out by the string section in a second. A lot of trumpets potentially. The epochatim mitish'a kinorot, violins, or of course in those days harps, no less than 9. Umosifin ad olam. Ad olam. You can have as many violins playing in the first violins, the second violins, the viola section, cellos, double basses, as it were in those days. You can have as many as you like. But only one cymbal, it makes a lot of noise, you don't need a lot of them. A cymbal, big cymbal. It could have been more like a gong or a cymbal of some kind. The trumpets were made of solid silver. And the flutes that they used to play. No drums here in the Mikdash, interestingly. It was kana. It was made of a hollow reed flute, b'tnei shekola arei, because it has a very beautiful soft sound. And look at this interesting orchestral observation from the Rambam. The lohe mechalek, they used to always end up any tune they played in the Mikdash, ela ba'avuv yechadi, with a single solo flute. Solo flute sound ended all the pieces, or most of the pieces, b'tnei shehu mechalek. Because it ends in such a beautiful way. Almost, you can almost start hearing the music a little bit, if you're musically minded, of the Beit HaMikdash with this solo flute at the end. A very beautiful orchestra with potentially hundreds of players. Similarly, the Beit HaShoeva, Simchas Beit HaShoeva, we know this source well, it's number 6. Chassidim v'anshei Maisa hayu meragdim lifneihem, they had men dancing down the streets in Yerushalayim ba'avu kotshal, or dancing with torches. The yadehen in their hands, the oimrim itzehen, divrei shiras with tishpachos, they used to sing and pray. The halevi'im, and the levi'im, the kinoros, the nevalim, the matzaltaim, with cymbals and harps and lyres, etc., the chassasrach, and with trumpets, the klishir, the lomispar. And almost unlimited numbers of music, of different kinds of instruments. In Erechin, I'm not going to read this source inside specifically, but it says here that we learn even shir from the Torah, that there is an idea in the Torah itself that you have to have music in the Beit HaMikdash. So too, as I mentioned before, prophecy, look at number 8. Eina shechina shera ela mitoch simcha. Says here the Orcha Tzadikim, in order for shechina, in order for nevuah to rest on the people, for prophecy to come, you need simcha. B'chol ha-nevi'im lo yehayim mitnabdim b'chol eit shiyutu. Nevi'im, prophets, couldn't just turn on prophecy whenever they wanted. Ela mechavnim data, they had to focus their minds, v'yoshvim samechim. They had to put themselves in the right frame of mind to get nevuah. Because nevuah will not come if they're being lazy, or if they're sad, depressed. They used to bring before them all the time drums. Here we do have some drums and harp and lyres, etc. The kinor and stringed instruments. Muvakshim and nevuah. And they used to try and get nevuah through the instruments, as we see with Elisha. So too, in the modern day, Rabbi Yisrael of Shklov writes about his teacher, the Vilna Gaon, the following very interesting piece. Look at number 9. Just, this is the Hagdometer of Yisrael of Shklov, Sefer, the Peyach HaShulchan. Look at number 9. V'kai Amar Gomer Vilna. This is what the Vilna Gaon used to say. Kol HaChochmas Nitzrachim l'Torahtenu. All chokhmas in the world are somehow tied in to our Torah Hakadosha, uchululim b'hem, and are included in the Torah. V'yad'am kulam l'tachlitam. And the Torah knows that how to express these chokhmas. V'hizkiram, and he mentions them, he says, algebra, umushulashim, and geometry, the handasa, engineering, the chokhmat ha-musika, and the chokhma of music. And he praised music greatly. And he used to say, the Vilna Gaon used to say, and the tamim of the Torah, and the songs of the levim, the sodot tikune zohar. I'm not a Kabbalist, I don't know exactly what he's referring to, but the tikune zohar as well, you can't understand them without music. If you don't know music, then you're not connecting with the deeper Kabbalistic roots of Torah. But Hu Amar, Kamen Nigunim v'Kamen Midot Hevi Moshe Rabbeinu v'Lashon Har Sinai. How many tunes did Moshe Rabbeinu bring down from Har Sinai? It wasn't just about teaching them Torah, he taught them melodies as well. The Hashar and all today's tunes murkavim, or all combinations somehow of the tunes from Sinai. We don't have those tunes clearly today. Rav Shlomo Kalbach used to say, as a Masorah from his father, that the tunes for the Yomim Narayim that we have, the Nigunim for the Yomim Narayim, may be a remnant of what used to be sung in the Beis HaMikdash by the Levian. We can't be sure. That's what he used to say. But clearly music figures still very strongly. Go over the page for two more positives before we turn over to the other side. Look at the page on page 3. Music in davening. Tanya says the Gemara in Brachas. Abba Binyamin Omer. Abba Binyamin used to say, Ein tefillah shal adam nishmat ela bebeit haknesset. If you really want to daven, you have to really go to a shul to daven. You can daven at home if it's necessary, if there's no other option. But going to shul is different. Shneimah lishmoa el harina ve'el hatzvilah. You're probably getting wafts of slichas going in your head. This is, of course, a pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech when he dedicates the Beit HaMikdash. And the Gemara learns from that verse, b'mokam rina, if you have rina song, sham tehei tefillah. That's where you have to have tefillah. Rashi explains, why is it tuneful in shul, right, b'mokam rina? The Beit HaKnesset, shesham omrim hatzibur shirot, that's when the tzibur can sing songs, v'tishbachot, b'ni'imach kol arev, with a beautiful voice. So you want a source that your shliach tzibur has to have a nice voice, and not to croak away at the davening, okay? Says Rashi, it has to have song, it has to have beautiful tunes and songs, etc. I went many years in London, used to daven with the Yekkers and monks. They know how to sing. They do things, everything they do is intense. And when they sing, it's very beautiful with a chazan, etc., etc. Now in today's world, it's a bit hit and miss depending on where you go and who gets up to daven, but we can nevertheless try and work on it. Also, it seems today that the words don't have to fit the music anymore. I don't know if this is just me, but it seems that now everything is kind of pushed into everything else, and if you run out of words, you just sing 99999, and it all works fine. Okay, I'm not complaining, you know. Yes. Okay, so they have to hear the chiyuv is a chiyuv. But we can try and encourage them to do the best they can. Also, music and learning. Here's in number 11. Look at this. The Amar of Shaftia, Amar of Yochanan, Kol HaKayre B'loimimah. If you read from the Torah without the proper tunes, the Shaina B'loim Zimra, or if you even learn Gemara, learn Mishnah, learn Halacha, without singing it, what are you doing, mumbling and murmuring? And you have to be singing your Torah Shabbat Peh. Alav HaKosavim, if you don't do that, it says, V'gam ani natati lehem chukim lo tovim. Those people who don't sing when they're learning, these are not good, these laws will not be good for them. U'mishpatim lo yichyu bahem. And the laws won't live through them. There has to be life, there has to be some kind of chiyas in the, and therefore if you're not singing when you're learning, so what are you learning? So up till now we've seen so many beautiful, positive things said about music in Tanakh, in the Beit HaMikdash, in Nevuah, in learning, in davening, etc. If so, how did we end up with the following two sources, which we'll see is where we're holding in some places today? And these are legitimate, bona fide sources. Look here in the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, writing a couple of decades ago, number 12. The Hapoitchim HaRadio Baboker. Those people who turn on the radio in the morning, the eighth kima when they're getting up, betochnit zemer habokeh, for the music radio station, ukriyotzi b'hev ha'erev, and similarly they do that in the evening, ube'eit ha'sudah, and they have the radio on when they're eating dinner. It's a gomor hu. This is the most serious aveira, to have a music station in the morning, to have to listen to music when you go to sleep, to have music when you're eating your dinner. Al pi halacha, it's an issa gomor. Upshita de ain't the notes in her hecha little more cliche, and you're certainly not allowed to learn to play a musical instrument. Or achzik stam, and just to play almanat shoresh stam, just for the sake of singing or for the sake of playing. The hine ain't biyadenu leva'er bebat achas hapirta hazot. We just aren't able to get rid of this terrible breach of halacha of the music that's come into our lives. The ashrei adam shemeyali. Happy is the person that will listen to me below lifrot bazeh and will not make this mistake. But I'll call upon him. Nevertheless, chalila lahatzik, but basically shir shekoyrim kayom organ. God forbid, he said, you should have in your house an organ, a keyboard, a musical keyboard. He said that for sure should not be in any Jewish home. Shekolel kama klishir, because the organ includes many different instruments. The rabbeinu avoseinu hikpidu ma'od alzeh. And people were very unhappy with this. Umi yiten shedoireinu yavin. How is this generation ever going to learn? Shekol ha'chayim shalanu, our entire life. Shekol hanhaget habayit beit charedi, and any charedi home, V'yori Hashem, which fears God, tzarich sheyeh mushu'ar al pi halacha, has to work according to halacha, v'shulchan aruch v'shulchan aruch, u'beklal ze inyan haniskan le'el. And that includes this halacha. No music. A Jewish religious home, he says, should have no music. Not in the morning, not in the evening, not in supper time, no organ, etc., etc. Yes. So we'll see. We'll see. He has many, many sources. We'll see. But we'll see where he's coming from. I'm just giving you the contrast, and then I'll show you where he's coming from. He has more sources than you would like to imagine, or probably want to hear. Okay? Similarly, look at a contemporary modern posek, Rav Simcha Rabinowitz, who wrote a very popular halachic work, the Piskei Tshuva. He says, Mashi Pritzu Kale Hadat, number 13. This terrible breach of Kale Hadat, people who are just not serious. La Achrona, La Argain Arvishira, they arrange musical evenings. Shematarasan Akira Haikarit, their main purpose is Shreifas Asman, just wasting time with Bidudu, with Tanuga, Shmiat Shira, just listening to music, Upu'ululim, B'chlizemer, and performances of musical instruments. Harihi Isur Gamur, it is completely prohibited to have a musical evening. Kamuvar B'shulchan Aruch Poskim Kam, Sahamishtafin, if you join in, if you even go and listen, Harihim B'chlal Messiah Ledvar Averi, you're encouraging people to do Averas. And if you're careful, you keep your family well away from anything like this, don't go to those things. Now, where are these last sources coming from? If you just read the sources I said at the beginning of the shir, you'd think that we were singing and dancing down the streets all day long. So you'll see now in the next 20 minutes or so that these two sources are in fact well based on our attitude to music today after the Galut, and we'll see how this goes now. First of all, music is not an entirely positive thing, and we saw that even at the beginning when we talked about Lavan. Yes. We'll talk about it, yes, we'll get to that, especially when we talk next week about Sphira as well. Don't forget, until recently there was only live music. Until, you know, the early 20th century, there is no other kind of music, and we'll talk about that. Even when we talked about Yuval, right at the very beginning, oh, he invented kinor, the bow, and then the flutes and the strings, etc. Rashi immediately on the spot, number 14, says, Midrash Agada, Tofes kinor v'ugav, he took the strings and the wind instruments, lezamel avodah zarah. He used them for avodah zarah. This power of music was used not to connect people with God, as we seem to see from the Ibn Ezra and other places, but to actually remove people from God. So too, Yeshayahu, when he's talking to the people, says, oh, you people, you have violins, and you have harps, and drums, and flutes, and wine, and you go to soirees. But you don't think about what God has done, and you just distract yourself from seeing the word of God. Again, Yeshaya is saying that music and wine, we'll see the connection with them, can be distractions rather than connections. Amos, when he is preaching his Nevuah to the northern kingdom, he very sarcastically says to them, number 16, Haportim al-pi hanavel, you pluck on your lyres, ke David. You think you're David HaMelech, playing the lute. Chashvu lahem klishir, you're inventing new songs. Hashotim b'mizrakeyayin, drinking wine from jugs. V'reshit shmanim yimshachu, and anointing yourselves with the most beautiful perfumes. V'loy nechlu al shever Yosef. Don't you know that Yosef is broken? Yosef being the northern kingdom. You're fiddling while Rome burns, basically, is his statement there. And you don't realize how that is distracting you. So too, when it comes to the arch-heretic, probably, or one of the arch-heretics of all time, Elisha ben Avuya, look at what it says in number 17. Acher, when it comes to Acher, we call him Acher, the other one, Elisha ben Avuya, my, why did he go wrong? So it gives a number of different reasons. So one of the reasons in the Gemara there is, Zemer Yavani lo pasak nipume. He never stopped singing Greek songs. Never stopped singing Greek songs. That's why he went off. So Rashi understands there, he should have been more sensitive to the Churban. More about that in a minute. Don't forget, Elisha ben Avuya lived after the Churban, after the destruction. And he wasn't sensitive to that. But the Maharshal says, the Nira, the Nakat Zema Yav V'Yavan, it was with Greek songs. The Hayaboy Minim, because there was a certain heresy to them, the Zema Gufi in the song itself. That's why they also said the Greek wisdom can take you off the derech. It will take someone to heresy. Song, Greek song, etc., can do the same thing, he says. Which raises the whole question, which I'm not going to give a shir on now, of, well, is there actually a problem with non-Jewish music? Is there an intrinsic problem with all non-Jewish music just because it's non-Jewish? Or have non-Jewish themes. And this is a big theme that people talk about. I seem to feel that in seminaries this is stressed a lot with the girls, and they have a lot of different discussions about this, whether that's in context or out of context is a good question. But this is definitely a discussion in the post-game. What about songs written by people who have negative spirituality, whatever that means, and how do we know the spirituality of a song? If Mozart, who was a lifelong slanderer and generally not the kind of person you'd want to have around for dinner, does that somehow infect the music so that now when you listen to the Magic Flute or a Mozart symphony, you're getting vibes of Mozart's negative spirituality through that, or the Beatles, or whoever? Or is that not an issue at all? What if it's channeled through positive people? What if I take songs from hits from the non-Jewish world and turn them into Jewish music? That happens more than people think. Usually the only people that recognize this are the Simchas of the Bali Tshuva, who are saying, I can't believe they're playing this piece of music. You know, where does that come from, etc.? And there's nothing you can say because, you know, you're the only person who knows that that's the music, whatever. What is considered appropriate, what is inappropriate, that's a whole shir which is a real topic. I'm not pushing it away, but I don't want to talk about that because it will take up too much of our time. But you see here from Elisha ben Avia, the very fact that the songs were Greek songs gave a cause for concern in and of itself. Leaving aside the issue of the words, meaning obviously if the words are vulgar and crass and offensive, then it goes without saying that that's going to be inappropriate for Jewish people to sing and speak. But even leaving aside the words, is there an issue with the music? And there are many songs today with words that you wouldn't want to sing, but that's a separate issue. So where were those sources before coming from when no radio in the morning, no music in the house, etc.? So let me give you an overview of the Chazals that deal with music after the Churban. Because all of those beautiful psukim that we saw from Tanakh, they were all from a time of Geula, a time when we were somehow redeemed, when we had a Beit HaMikdash, we had Simchas Beis HaShoeva. When that began to come to an end, our attitude to music began to change. Look at number 18. It says the Mishnah. Mishebakla Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin was cancelled, here it doesn't mean necessarily left completely, but when they ceased to function as a Sanhedrin, Bakla Hashir Mebeit HaMishkan. Then there was an abolition of song in a Beit HaMishkan. Now what's a Beit HaMishkan? Somewhere where you're drinking, usually wine. So song and wine were then taken off the menu. Shememar, as it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Beshir Loi Yishtu Yain. Do not drink wine and listen to music. So the Mishnah says now there is definitely a problem after the Sanhedrin ceased of wine and music. The Yerushalmi picks up why. What is the problem? Gives two reasons. Number 19. Amar Rav Chisda Berishona Haita Eimat Sanhedrin Alein. Originally the Sanhedrin would be responsible for supervising the way the Jewish world worked. The Lahai Aimrim Divri Navala Bashir. And people were a bit more discreet in the kind of songs that they sung. There was no vulgarity in the songs, or less. Now that nobody cares about the Sanhedrin anymore. It's very interesting. It sounds like the Sanhedrin's still there.
Right.
But it just doesn't have any teeth anymore. Now that that's happened, now that nobody cares. And therefore we have to get rid of the song because people are just behaving badly. That's the first opinion of Rav Chisda. Rav Yossi, Rabbi Bun says, B'shem Rav Chuna, B'rishona kol tzara shehaita ba'ala tzibura. What happened was actually every time something bad happened to the community, how you poiskim simcha kenegda, they would cancel another level of simcha, another level of simcha. Now you can't do this, now we can't do that, now we can't do that, as the tzoros increased. U'mishibakla Sanhedrin, then eventually Sanhedrin also lost its authority, batla hashimi beit hamishtav, mishibakla elu ve'elu, once all of those things happen together, then shavas misois libeinu ve'nefach la'avel mechoyim. All of the songs we used to sing have now turned to dirges. And all of the simcha that we had has now turned to avelas because of all these things that happened. And the Gemara actually takes in Bavli some quite harsh stances against music. Look at number 20. Amar Rav. Rav said the following. Udna, Deshama Zimra, any ear that listens to music, Te'aker, should be cut off. Nobody should be listening to music, he said. Amar Rava, Rava said, Zimra Bebeisa, if you have music in your house, Churve Besifa, you will bring destruction onto your threshold. Amar Rav Huna said, Zimra Denagdi Udbakri, Rav Huna said, if the boat schleppers and the plowers want to sing as they work to keep them, you know, motivated, also maybe even to get the cows moving, Shari, then that's okay. But the Gardai, but the weavers, Asir. Why should the weavers be singing? And then Rav Huna battles Zimra, then he cancels all the song and says the Gemara, Kam Mea Avzi Bezuzi. And the brocha that came to the Jewish people from the cancellation of the song was great. You could buy 100 geese for a zuz. Umea Seir Chiti Bezuzi and 100 seir of wheat for a zuz. Things were great. Veloi boy, and no one could even sell them. The author of Chizda Zilzebe, when Rav Chizda says, no, I think you've gone too far, let's have a bit more music back. Iboy Ivze Bezuzi. Then the prices went up, the brocha ceased, all of a sudden, and Chazal associated with this rise of prices with the fact that people were singing more, and therefore cut it out and sing less. The Gemara says in number 21, Shalchu Leila Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva sent the following, Zimra, what about singing? Rashi says again with wine, Minalanda Asir, how do we know that that is Asir? The Sirtad Bekatav Lehu, so he got out some paper and he wrote to them. The very important passage we haven't seen yet. Al Tismach Yisrael El Gil Ka'ami. The Jewish people may no longer celebrate like other people do. A very important passage there from Hosea. You can't celebrate anymore. Yishlach Lehu Mehacha, why don't they read Bishir Lo Yishtu Yayin? Why don't we bring the passage from before, don't sing and drink wine, etc. No, he says, Iyema Mehacha, if I only brought that passage, Hava Amina Hani Mili Zimra Damama, I would have only known instrumental music. About the Puma, but what about a cappella music? Vocal music only. Shari, I would have thought that was Mutter. No. You may not celebrate at all. This pasuk, Al Tismach Yisrael, Agil HaKa'amin, means you can't even sing. You can't even sing without musical instruments.
What about Shabbat Mirus?
Oh, we're going to see. We're going to see a big restriction on Shabbat Mirus in a minute.
Okay.
This is all these old sources that people don't normally bring. Let's have a look. Oh, we'll see. And don't forget, this is only part one. Part two is next week. You have to come back next week to get the full picture. Look at number 22. Mar Ukva Mishlach Ksav L'Reish Galusa. Mar Ukva, who we just saw before, he sent a letter to the Reish Galusa. Who was the Reish Galusa? The Reish Galusa was like the president of the Babylonian community. From the family of David HaMelech, he was like the king, the little king, if you like, of the Jews. Every time he went to sleep and woke up in the morning, he had musicians playing. And he sent to him, and Al Tismach Yisrael Agil Kamin. You can't do that. You can't have minstrels in the evening and minstrels in the morning. Now you know a little bit where the radio comes from. This radio is quite the way I had before. Putting on the radio in the morning, putting on the radio in the evening. It's from the Yerushalmi. Now, of course, they had no radio. They had only live music. But he said, you can't do that. Non-Jewish kings can do that. You can't do that. So too, Chazal say number 23, and we'll get into the halacha specifically, the Tanur Rabbanan, Hakori Posik Shel Shir HaShirim. If you take a verse of Shir HaShirim, all these beautiful verses, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, okay? V'Oise Atokim In Zemeh, and you make it into a song. V'Hakori Posik V'Beis Mishtaris, or if people want to read Psukim, sing Psukim in a Simcha, Beis Mishtaris, V'Lois Manoi, when it's not the time for laning, maybe Rala Oilam. This is evil. You can't put Psukim to song. Mitnisha HaTorah Chogeret Sag, the Torah wears sack in Avelas in mourning, Va'omelik Ne'a Kodesh Baruch, when it stands before God, Va'omelik Lefanav, and says to God, Ribbono Shel Olam, Asu'uni Banayich Kekinor, your children have set me to music, Shemanagnim Bo Leitzim, like clowns, Leitzim doesn't mean clowns here, it means like non-serious people, like they're singing in the pubs, so the non-Jews are singing in the pubs, non-Jewish songs. So the Jews are singing in the equivalent of the pub, they're singing from Tanakh. This is a disgrace. So you see here some fairly strongly worded pieces from Gemara that music is just no longer part of our life. It should be cut out from our life. How does this work out in halacha? So let's look in, because many of these sources were agadata rather than halacha. So let's look at how the halacha actually picks this up. There are basically four approaches in the Rishonim, and we'll see how the Shulchan Aruch passes in a second. The Rishonim basically say as follows. The Rambam, in number 24, says, V'chein gazur shiloy lenagim mikli shir, v'kli v'kol minei zemer, v'kol mishmai kol shel shir, osa. You cannot have any instrumental music. Because of the Chorban. You cannot have instrumental music. He's not talking about Sfira. He's not talking about the Tisha B'Av. He's talking about the whole year round. You may not have instrumental music. Even if you're going to sing vocally a cappella, al hayayin, with wine, asura. That's awesome. But without wine, it sounds like he's okay with singing. Oh, but now he gives us a heter. The minhag is, he says, that we do have people that want to come together to sing praises of God. Meaning, if you're just putting psukim to, you know, to music in the pub, that you can't do. But to come and have an evening of chizuk and praise and shvach, etc., that people do. Oh, that people do. Or shir shel hoydah lekel. You can even do that with wine. So what does the Rambam say? Let's just summarize the Rambam. Instrumental music, out. All year round. Singing, okay, as long as you're not drinking. And if you're going to sing songs, which are praise of God, then you can even do that to wine. The Rambam elsewhere, I didn't bring you the source, in a tshuva, apparently says even singing regular songs with wine is osa. Not just instrumental music, but he comes down very firmly that everything basically is prohibited unless it's in a religious context. Any non-religious context, whether you're singing, whether you're playing, whether you have wine, whether you don't have wine, the Rambam in the Tshuva says is asur. Tosfos is less strict. Look in number 25. Tosfos says, I definitely think he says you should be strict in the case of the Reish Galusa, remember the Reish Galusa, to have Ikayim v'domich bezimra, who got up and went to sleep to music. Because that's too much already. That's over the top, to have music playing all the time. So that you should be machmir on. But a little bit of music here and a little bit of music there, maybe not such a problem. Ubashir shel mitzvah. But if you're going to have shir for a mitzvah, we didn't see this yet, but now he brings it in. Sorry, that's of course fine. Kugan b'shat chuppah. Everybody agrees that you can have music at a chuppah. In fact, you have to have music at a chuppah. Ein simcha l'chazan kalabali klishir. You have to have music, even to the point the Shulchan Aruch rules, it's not today's shir, that if you have a chasna on Friday and you have the simcha on Friday night, you're allowed to have a band, a live band, a non-Jewish band playing at the chasna. How can you have a chasna without a band? So that's for sure, he says. She'oitzen lismoach lesameach chasna v'kala. So that, so Tosfos is okay, he's more lenient than the Rambam. The Torah basically brings down the shitas, and there are four, and I'll go through them now clearly as follows, from the most strict to the most lenient. The Rambam in Teshuvas says no music, other than in a religious setting, no singing, no instruments, with wine, without wine, none. That's the most strict opinion. The next level down is the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah that we saw, where he says instruments at all, never. Music, vocal music, it's okay as long as you don't have wine. And again, he says that praising God, etc., is fine. Tosfos says that music is okay unless it's constant. If you have constant music going through the day, that's a problem. And Rashi, which we saw a little bit at the beginning, basically is the most lenient. He says it's really only a problem if you're drinking wine. If you're having music playing without wine, it's basically all fine. So there you have a range of opinions, from the strictest opinion of the Rambam down through to Rashi. Which one do we follow? So look at the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll pick up the modern day poskim and see how we actually rule on this. Look at number 27. V'chein gazru shaloi l'nagim b'klisha. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Similarly, there was a rabbinic decree that we have no music today. V'chol minei zemer, or any kind of song. V'chol mashmai, colleagues quoting the Rambam, or any kind of music shall shir l'samech behem, or l'smuach behem. We can't have music to make us happy. So that's the first straightforward quote, no instrumental music. The remark comes in and says, V'yesh Omrim, there is a more lenient opinion, D'dafka mishal ragil bahem. That's only a problem if you're always involved with music, Kogoin hamalachim, like the king, She'om din v'shoch v'meklishir, or b'beis ha-mishnah, or if you're drinking. So this comes in and says, actually, the music is only a problem in two scenarios. If it's constant, or if it's accompanied by wine. Or maybe all alcohol, but specifically wine. He says he's more lenient. The Shulchan Aruch carries on. You're not allowed to because of the Churban. Even if you have singing only, with wine, Asura, which is the Merambam and Mishnah Torah, that's also Shanema B'Shelo Yishtoyayin. And he quotes the Rambam that the minhag is to have religious music together, or Shir Shal Hoda, V'zikaron Chasei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alayayin. That we can have with wine, and the Ramah ends, V'chein HaTorech Mitzvah, so too for a mitzvah, could go in B'beit HaChas, V'kala HaKol Shari. Everything's fine. So, where does that leave us, LaHalacha? Can we listen to music or can't we listen to music? Well, it depends who you follow. If you follow the Shulchan Aruch Tzadik, the answer is no, you can't listen to music, unless maybe if it's vocal music without wine, okay, maybe you can have that, or if it's religious music. If you follow the Ashkenazi Pesach of Tosfos Rashi brought down in the Ramah, you can be a bit more lenient. You can listen to music, as long as it's not constant, all day, or as long as it's not together with alcohol. They're the two basic positions brought down in the Halacha. And the Mishnah Brura brings this in number 28. Let's pull a couple of points out from this Mishnah Brura. You'll see where he's going with this. The Mishnah Brura tries to take this to a more machmir place. Tries to push this Halacha into the stricter opinion. Number 28. Let's look at a couple of sources here. Look at the beginning. Yud Gimel. Afilu sheba pel ayayin osa. V'habach pasak. And the Bach rules like the Rambam in the Tshuva. Afilu b'lo ayayin gamkein osa. Even vocal music without wine is still awesome. So he's trying to push you into that corner. What about other things, mirrors, etc. on Shabbos? So let's have a look what he says. Yud Dalet. Divrei Tishbacha, says the Mishnah Berurah. Kasa v'likutim arim. Shaloi kedin hushem asherim b'mishteh. Okay, oydech haki anisani. If you're in a mishteh, if you're having a feast, not talking about for a mitzvah, just generally, and you want to sing a song, so what should you sing? Roll out the barrel? No, God forbid, you want to sing Oidecha Ki Ani Sani, you want to sing a song from Sukkim. No, you can't do that. Certainly you can't sing Roll Out the Barrel either, but if you don't know what that song is, that's fine as well. V'chia Gavna, L'simchas Mireyot, so too if you're with friends, don't sing Sukkim. Ki Av HaTorah Chogeret Saki, brings that Gemara we saw, V'omerit Asu'uni Banai Kamin Zemeh. Ach, the Beit HaKnesset, the regal in mitzvah lezame, but of course in shul, this is very appropriate, we have music at this point, okay? In the shul, it's fine. In the shul, you of course have a mitzvah to sing. The al korchach matikam agin Avram, the loy shari b'shabbos, what about on Shabbos, he says? You cannot sing on Shabbos lezame, ela oisen shirim shen nitkanu al hasuda, only authorized Shabbos mirrors. Those songs, why do we have a book with the Shabbos mirrors in? Because, says the Mishnah Berurah, they are the only ones you're allowed to sing. If you can think of another song, then don't sing it. About Piyuti Acherim also?
Friday night songs on Shabbos.
Okay, that's already, I don't think that has any basis, and someone divided it up. But don't start with your own sukkah. Now, you can already tell all of this sounds completely foreign to almost everybody in this room. And we need to look at what's happened. Because the world just doesn't work like this anymore. But I just want to bring you the mainstream sources so you can see where people are coming from. And then he says, there are some students that people sing Kaddish. He says that's absolutely out of the question. You can't sing Kaddish, whether in any situation really. And then he says you can't pop Sukkim to music. All of these things that we saw before. In the Shara Tzion in 29, he raises the question, can you sing a lullaby to a baby? Ad Kadeka. And he says, yes. Look at number 29. V'im mezamros kedei li'ishan hatinok. If you're trying to put the baby to bed, shopi dummy, that's okay. He needs to give you a heter for that. V'gam haloimi divrei shulchan aruch mashma de'eino isa b'peh ela ala yayin. It's interesting because he seems to be going with the slightly more lenient approach of the Ramah, which is that, look, really this is only a problem with wine, and the baby hopefully is not imbibing any wine at the time. Maybe the mother is, okay, but hopefully not either. Hilkach ein ledagde kolkach. We don't have to be so particular about singing to the baby. Acheni miyesh anashim acherim abayis, but of course if there's a kol isha problem, which is a separate, completely separate question, says you have to just be aware if you're a woman singing to the baby, whether that is an issue of kol isha or not. We're going to have a shir on kol isha, but not right now. Umihu, fine, he's saying a shlob, but then he brings the Kabbalistic angle. The shlob brings v'shari sifri musa, shilola zamish, shiri agavim, letinok. Don't sing love songs to the baby. Be careful what you're singing to the baby. Shizem moili letinok, teva ra. Again, this idea that the negativity in the music because of the words or the song or whatever, can affect somehow the neshama of the baby. And again, that's a bigger topic for a whole shiur. I just want to show you, he actually brings it. Ubalav hachi nami ike itzura b'shiri agav him a different. Now, of course, generally to sing love songs is a problem itself. The kamagari yetzahara, because you're increasing yetzahara, etc. V'shomim nashi yuchak mizeh. What exactly is a love song is a good question. Shiri agav him. There are obviously songs which are crude. There are songs which are even highly sexualized, and there are songs which are like, I want to hold your hand. You know, is that called a love song, I want to hold your hand, or is that just Sam Shtuyot? You know, whatever. How many songs are written about love? So many. It's the main theme. Does that make every single song a love song, or does it depend whether the words are somehow inappropriate? Or is the whole topic inappropriate? I'm not getting into that, I don't have an answer for that right now, but you can see, you need a heter to sing to the baby. Many of the poskim in today's world have taken this very seriously. The Az Nidbaru, Rav Binyamin Silber, here in number 30, says, Stam Shira, a regular song, Kata Maran, Mishnah Brura Le Isur. The Mishnah Brura says, you can't sing regular songs, Hafilu Bepeh, even vocally, Hafilu Le Misha Eino Ragil, even if you're not always listening to music, Shaloi Bemishtayin, even if you're not drinking wine, don't sing. The Ein Lechloik Al HaMishnah Berurah. You can't disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, which is a very interesting meta-halachic point. Which is that true? Can we not disagree with the Mishnah Berurah? First of all, he interprets the Mishnah Berurah to be very strict. The Mishnah Berurah seems to give different opinions on this, but he says, assuming the Mishnah Berurah is strict, you can't disagree with it. Kevin Shisfarav Nizkablu B'chol HaOlam, since his works have been accepted across the whole world, the Jewish world, the Dino Karaban shall call Yisrael. His word is the halacha. He is the rabbi, the main rabbi of all Jewish people. And other poskim would take issue with this meta-halachic point, which is no. Who says that we have to paskin like the Mishnah Berurah without any question as to the status of the Mishnah Berurah? Sure. But who says that that is the last word for all Jewish Orthodox home? Maybe there are other. The Aruch HaShulchan may take a different view on different matters than modern-day poskim. And indeed, where there were many poskim who did not paskin like the Mishnah Berurah. But here, the Az Nidbaru says that we have to. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who, by the way, did not always paskin like the Mishnah Berurah at all, he is, however, very down on music. Look in number 31, and people are sometimes a bit surprised. People often realize, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's a more modern thinker. The answer is, yes, he was very in touch with the modern world, but on this particular issue, he took a hard line. Look at number 31. Hayotzi mizeh. What comes out from this? Is the bepuma, vocal music, ein la'asur. Again, he's not talking about sphira, he's not talking about the 3 weeks, he's talking about the whole year. We're not going to prohibit vocal music. Shaloi bebeis mishta, as long as there's no alcohol. Ulamisha ein ragel, misha ein ragel. As long as you're not listening all day long to vocal music, then okay. Because most of the Rishonim do allow vocal music without wine and without being all day. Only the Rambam really prohibits it, and that's against his own Mishnah Torah. But if you can, you should, says the Mishnah Berurah, take the most machmir approach on this. Like Rav Moshe says, sorry, not Mishnah Berurah, sorry, correct, thank you. But Tshuvah Sova, HaBach Pasa Kavase, isn't the Bach Paskins like this very strict opinion of the Rambam? Ubezimra Damana, when it comes to instrumental music, Asur B'chomach. That's clearly Asur. You can't listen to instrumental music. Chikain Sova, Rambam B'amachaba. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Ulechein Asher HaRamah, even though the Ramah comes in, the Savri Shepligi Umatim Shalai Bebeis HaMishdeh V'Ein Uragel, even though we saw there was a window, the Ramah says, as long as you're not drinking, as long as you're not listening all day, maybe even instrumentals okay, Yesh Lahachmir. Don't do it, says Rav Moshe. Afshehu Issa Drabonon. Even though it's an Issa Drabonon. Very strange, because in an Issa Drabonon, why would we be looking to find the most machmir, the strictest opinions? Apparently Rav Moshe says, we have to try. The imhulad var mitzvah, of course, if it's for a mitzvah, avshe ein lutim chaschas v'kala, any mitzvah, bris, epidina ben, hakol shari, of course that's fine. Aval, but, habanquet, sha'oisin l'tzorich tzedakah, you're holding a dinner to raise money for tzedakah. This is the American Jewish world in one line, you know, you're fundraising big money for big tzedakahs, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm not sure im hu bichlal hetzah dvar mitzvah. I'm not sure if that's a mitzvah. A chasna, yes. A bris mila, yes. A bar mitzvah, yes. But a banquet? Ani lo batuach, says Rav Moshe. Val yidei haradio, And what about the radio? So he says, it depends, the same din. Imnishma zimra depumi, if you're listening to vocal music, then mutter, then that's fine, just like live vocal music, as long as you're not drinking, and as long as you're not listening to it all day. And even then, he thinks you shouldn't. But if you're listening to instrumental music on the radio, asu. It's also. Rav Vosner takes the same basic view in his 1984 tshuva. We saw certain aspects of this. He says that people should be understanding this halacha as a central part of a Jewish home. Just pick it up a little bit from the fourth line, because he gives you a little bit of a window of a heter, which I need to talk about. Ulamaisa. You see the fourth line of number 32, Ulamaisa. Practically speaking, to our embarrassment, and to our discomfort, kimat nishka halacha psuka hazot. Almost nobody keeps this anymore. Which is, even in 1984, and by the way, since 1984, there's been a revolution in Jewish music. If you think how the world has changed with the means of listening and the kind of music, and there are now two popular Haredi radio stations in Israel. Kol Barama, and what's the other one? It's Kol Chai, Radio Kol Chai. These set themselves up as Haredi music stations that all day long are playing instrumental and vocal music. Ribbono Shel Olam, what happened here? What happened since 1984? When it came out, everybody's saying this is an Issa Gomor. This reminds me very much of the issue of women voting. Where if you look at the psak in the early 20th century, kimat every posik in the world said, Osa, 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 Osa. Women are not allowed to vote in an election. When they had the elections for the yeshuv in the early 1920s, where Rav Kook came out and said, Osa, and said women can't vote. And that's the point at which the Mizrahi movement split in many ways from Rav Kook, and says from now on we won't be asking the rabbis about issues to do with the yeshuv, we'll ask them about religious issues. Very interesting moment at which he really lost the confidence in many ways of the center ground in the Mizrahi movement. But now, can women vote in the Israeli elections? Well, you know, the Haredi parties will pay for a babysitter so that she'll look after your kids while you go out to vote. I mean, you have to vote for certain parties, obviously. But you can do that. And by the way, that may be legitimate as well. Maybe there's a Das Torah that says that you do indeed have to vote for who the Poskehador tell you to vote for. That's a completely different share. But what changed? Who turned around in the 20th century and said, oh, now women can vote? And you won't find any tshuva that directly says, then it was also, now it's okay. But somehow over that period of time, it's all flipped. So too here, things have changed dramatically, yes.
So that mistake about Cook's psak was based on the poem by...
In case the husband goes one way and the wife goes... He talks, I'm not sure, I'd have to check it out. He talks about sneers as well in the polling booths and mixing, etc. But one of the main issues that they have there is, are melech v'loy malka. If you have a democracy and the people are the melech, then the Torah says, or does it, I'm not getting into that now, that it has to be a melech and not a malka. But that's a different issue now. But Rav Vosner just raised one interesting point. He says, people have forgotten this. Ve'ein lanu limdod zchut gamor. We can't really learn, we can't really justify it. U'mi'al kopanim elo ashonim akli shir shemashmin zeme kodesh v'zeme mitzvah la'oreh halvavos. Maybe people are listening to lift their spirits, he says. He's trying to find a reason. Mikolsha came be'esudas chasnamuta, and all the more so at a wedding. But makam she'ein le'isa miyuchad lekach, as long as there's no issue with Yerushalayim, here our Kodesh, he says, I'm not getting into that now. Or le'nisha shomer lefakeach itzvono. Or because somebody who finds, he says, that if they don't listen to the music, they'll start to get depressed. She'yesh lo'ima she'begeder mitzvahu. And that begins to be the beginning of a change of a heter, which is, maybe you can say that everybody today is so depressed for any number of reasons that if they don't have the music on, they're never going to slide into a mental illness. And it's difficult because if you ask people on an individual level, come on, tell me, if you're not listening to the radio, will you become clinically depressed or not? I would hope that most people will say, well, no, I won't become clinically depressed. Maybe as a society, we need music more. But he opens this up as a, maybe things have changed. Yes.
What about the situation where, in those times, if you, let's say, wanted to be a professional musician?
For Paranossa, things are very different. We'll see, even during Sphira, even during the 3 weeks to play for Paranossa, we'll talk about that next week, okay. is a different matter. But then again, it's Paranossa and Paranossa. There's a difference between being on a Broadway show and playing in a, whatever, that we'll talk a bit more next week. Ravovna says another interesting thing, 33. Let's look at the last page for the last 5 minutes. Ravovna disagrees with Rav Moshe about vocal music. Remember, Rav Moshe said that vocal music on the radio has the same status as vocal music live, which means it's okay as long as there's no wine, etc. But instrumental music has the same status as instrumental music. Ravovna says, no, I don't think so. I think once you record vocal music and then you play it, that's now become a song. That's now instrumental music. Because it no longer has any connection to the original voice. Now that you've recorded it and played it back, it just becomes an electronic instrument, and therefore, we saw he was very down on the organ as well, because the organ reproduces electronically many different instruments. He says vocal music is the same, therefore he uses it as a chumrah. He says even listening to a cappella music on the radio is going to be a problem, because it's not really vocal anymore. Now, interesting question in parentheses, he doesn't say this, but what about Kol Isha? Is that going to now allow you to take that logic to a lenient place and say, well, if I have women recorded, so maybe that's no longer a woman's voice, that is an electronic voice. Now again, he doesn't say that. But when we deal with Kol Isha, we will deal with that as a possible issue. And again, he raises the issue of depression. Maybe we're all depressed. So the mainstream of the poskim over the people that we generally turn to, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Vosna, Rav Yaakov Breishin, number 34, they all basically say that it's osser to listen to music. Rav Avadi Yosef is a bit more makel. We'll just look at him and then we'll look at two Hashkafi points to finish. Rav Avadia says as follows. I want to leave you with a little bit more of an opening of a Makel view in number 35. But Sikum, he summarizes. Hameikilim ishmo meharadio. If you want to be lenient and listen to the radio, umiharasham, I don't know if this is like a recording, Shem, because she wrote the tishbachot, the hodaat la Hashem isbarach, of course, religious music. Why would you be listening to anything other than religious music? And by the way, forget about just secular music. What if you like listening to Mozart's Requiem or the Matthew Passion? What's the deal with all of that, which is actually church music? You will talk about that when we talk about other kinds of music, but that might be completely off the scale. Or maybe no, as long as it's not a service. Maybe if it's live from Westminster Cathedral or something, that's one thing. But that's a separate issue. But you're listening to Jewish music on the radio, it says okay. As long as you're not acting stupid. You have on whom to rely. Even though it's instrumental, I'll allow it. Leave the Jewish people alone. They know what they're doing. They mind you, this is interesting because that opinion was the opinion of the Ashkenazis. So Rav Avadia now has to justify how he's going to follow the Ramah to be lenient when the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch said no. The Hamachmir Tavol Avrocha, if you want to be Machmir, that's great, have a Brocha. The Afal Pisha Anu Kibanu Harami Ran Shulchan Aruch, who is Safran Kaloshan Aramam, even though he says really we shouldn't be patterning like the Ashkenazim, he learns a whole Lomdus, maybe it's a Sveika, I'm not getting into the whole thing. He has to do a little bit of halachic footwork to justify, well, maybe the halachas like the majority of the Rishonim, maybe the Rambam even allowed it, da, 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 da. And he comes out at the end and says, I'd rather you didn't listen to the music, but if you want to, you can on the radio. But again, he's really talking about Jewish music. Where does that leave us halachically? And then we'll finish with two hashgafi points. Halachically, it seems pretty clear from the classic poskim that listening to music is problematic. Playing music is problematic. The most lenient opinion you can find is, don't listen or play music when you're drinking wine, unless you're in a simcha. And that may be even the halacha lemaisa. If you are indeed thinking about sitting down for an evening candlelit dinner with your nearest and dearest, drinking a bottle of nice red wine and putting on the radio, I'm not sure that that isn't a halachic problem, even according to everybody. And I'm being serious here in terms of that issue. But other than that, maybe, unless you say it's a mitzvah, shalom bayis, I don't know how far you can take mitzvah, you know, unless I have a glass of wine with my wife in the evening, then who knows. But halachically, there is definitely an issue going on there, and that is maybe the most lenient. Let's look at two hashgafic points to finish with. Rav Yonatan Eibershitz makes a beautiful point, and we need to now turn it towards part two, which is next week, which was what's with today and what's with Sphira. Says in Rabbi Yonatan Eibershitz, "V'hainu ki ein lismoch la'achah churban." We cannot be happy after the churban. Ki af ashe echad, even if there's some Jews, ashe kaima leishasi roya toiva ba'amala. He sees good in his life, and he does well at work, and he makes money. Umatat Hashem he loves. Halo kol Yisrael ki ish echad v'guf echad. Even though there are individuals who may be making a good life in the Golas, We're all one body. Ubegole roiv Yisrael hem betzar v'doichek. Aren't the vast majority of the Jews in the world today in great crisis and poverty? The imkein eich yismach. How can you be happy? Even if you're doing okay, what about the rest? And if this is the thinking, then does this still apply today? Because even though there are clearly still Jews in great poverty and are finding a hard to make ends meet, we're not where we were in the 1700s. And most Jews today in Golot and in Eretz Israel do not live in the condition in which they live. Are we going to use that hashgafic reason to say, well, come on, we now need to develop a new attitude to music? Maybe these sources that we've seen so far do not match the reality of our life today. We'll talk more about that next week. And finally, Rav Kook, who says that maybe that, and which is pushes in a different way, which is maybe the whole purpose hashgafically of this issue is to try and make us as Jews focus that that our simcha should always be simcha shel mitzvah. We should always be trying to avoid simcha sam and move our simcha towards a more wholesome place. If that's the case, then that will apply even more so today, not less. And therefore, maybe it depends on where you're coming from on that. Again, so far we've seen part one, the positives and negatives. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will look into the issue of Sfira specifically, into the issue of today's attitude to music, and to Yom Ha'atzma'ut, which I think is a very important limit that we need to make. Please, God, we'll continue next week. I wish you all a wonderful week, and I'll bring you some nice news from Memphis, please, God.